Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Good morning. Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast with your host, yours truly, Garrett Michael Conklin. Hey, man, how was your weekend? Wow, I had a great weekend. Lots going on. So let me start with Friday. Friday, probably, I don't know, like an hour after I finished the episode, Friday's episode, my Yamaha 731 flugelhorn came in. Woo-wee! I'm pretty happy with this bad boy. I put up a post on Instagram, if you follow me there, which I wanted to check out what it sounds like, but with a Dennis Wick 2BFL gold-plated mouthpiece. Anyway, this horn is buttery and nice and bottom-sprung and in pretty good condition. The guy mentioned there was a couple dings and dents and stuff like that, so I only paid like $800 for this thing, so I got a good deal on it, I think. You can see that there have been some decent dents removed out of it. They're not perfect, but it plays fine. It looks good. It feels good. I like it a lot. So maybe, like I had said, once things settle down, or you know, it needs some stuff, I'll send it out to Jay Landris Brass for like a once over, and they can really go through it. But I bought like a valve rebuild kit. It was missing the screw for the lyre. So, I mean, just dumb stuff. I'll never use a lyre, but it's cool to have the screw in there. So it looks complete. And then, yeah, man. So it's jamming. Picked up a couple new mouthpieces that I'm going to get. I really like, it came with a mouthpiece and it's kind of an old style. This is a 12F3D. From Yamaha. Weird. Never had one of these, but it's really a pretty nice mouthpiece. So I picked up another one of those in gold because, you know, I got to have two of everything. So I got one silver, one gold. But I'm really enjoying the Dennis Wick mouthpiece in this horn. It sounds really good. It's cool. So I just got to figure out the right valve oil for it, and it should be ready to rock and roll. Then yesterday, me and my kids went to Rochester, New York, which is about an hour east of where we live, and we saw a band called The Story So Far and another band called Movements, but I'm more familiar with The Story So Far. And they are like a pop punk kind of band, so it's kind of like punk rock but poppy-ish, you know, more I don't know, more musical and more melodic, I guess. Anyway, these dudes are from somewhere in California, and we've seen them, I think, like four or five times now, and they're awesome. We initially found them on Warped Tour, in one of the barrage of times we've been to Warped Tour over the years. But yeah, they're good. It was a great show. So I went with my two daughters and my son, drove out there. We had dinner. It was pretty cool. So, you know, it made me realize, I'm like, we probably should have invited my wife to come. That was kind of a shit thing to do. Like, she's not into this kind of music, but she's definitely into doing stuff and taking road trips and things like that. So I think that was a mistake, that I just assumed she wouldn't want to go because she doesn't like the music and didn't think about it in more depth, or give it and think more in depth about like the whole thing. And, you know, she just, I guess, stayed home. I'm not sure what she did. Maybe she was out with her boyfriend or something, but maybe she stayed home. But the point is, we got another show coming up, I think in October, that's local. It's another band that she probably doesn't like. But I think we're going to just get her a ticket anyway, because I think that's the right thing to do. She and my son like to, you know, have some drinks and stuff too. So that'll be nice. But I guess my point is that these are the types of things that I think that I'm doing subconsciously. Like, I didn't not invite her on purpose. I just didn't assume she'd want to go. And that's probably not the best approach to this. I probably could have been a little bit more like, hey, yeah, let's all go, and, you know, road trip, and yeah, it'll be fun and something to do. And so, you know, maybe I'm still part of the problem here, and I'm not, you know, and of course, you know, any one of my kids could have invited her to come as well and said something, but nobody did either. So I feel like, you know, being the eldest of the crew there, it was probably my responsibility to reach out and be like, yeah, mom can come too, and let's all go. It'll be fun. Because we ended up going out for dinner. You know, we made it kind of a more of a thing than just going to a show. And, you know, look, she's taking my daughters to shows without me. I'm not trying to make a big deal out of the whole thing. I'm just saying that it was a fun time. And, you know, with all the chaos and all the nonsense that's going on around us, we probably should spend more time making sure that we're all doing things together with the ones that we love the most so that we can, you know, if they decide to take all this shit away from us for some fucked up, crazy ass reason, you know, we will have lots of good memories to look back on. You know, on the way home, we almost hit like four deer. So that, not that that was fun, but you know, it's something we'll all remember. Just good time overall. I hope, you know, God willing, knock on wood, there was a lot of fucking people at this thing and it was inside. So hopefully nobody comes away with any of the C virus there. That would kind of suck, but my son and I are vaccinated, though I guess at this point that doesn't mean shit, but my two daughters are not, because I'm not comfortable yet with the potential side effects that seem to be skewed more towards screwing up women than men. And for me personally, you know, if sterility and some of these things are the problem, I mean, I already have heart problems. I've already had a vasectomy. I mean, none of that, those side effects. I mean, I'm not saying I want side effects. I'm just saying I don't, there's no implication for me in any of that stuff. So I'm going to have heart surgery here coming up pretty soon, I would guess. Anyway, I'm on my seventh year with my artificial valve, and God forbid, man, what a great cow I got. Thank you, Bessie. Appreciate that. Your valve, your heart tissue is kicking ass so far. So 7 years, I'm going strong. That's pretty cool. So typically these things, I guess, last between 10 and 15 years. So it'd be nice to get 15 out of it. That'd be pretty cool, but we'll see. I don't have a very positive outlook on that whole thing. I just assume I'll get bad news every time I go to the cardiologist. But so far, so good. At the beginning, actually, there was a little bit of concern. It was like, well, this thing may not last very long. And then everything kind of just stabilized and everything's been fine since. So hopefully everything's good there for, you know, another 7 years would be cool. I'll take that. Not that, I mean, and this is going to sound really fucked up, but not that that surgery was, I mean, it was horrible. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not like something you want to do, but there was something calming about that whole experience at the Cleveland Clinic. That's quite a facility they got out there, I got to say. If you have, you know, any procedures that you need to have done and you have the opportunity to go out there, that is a very impressive facility, to say the least. So if you got to go to a hospital, that's a really good choice. They're definitely a top-notch facility. I mean, they play like this pretty ambient, ethereal kind of music all throughout the hospital. There's like viewing decks on the roof. They have like a really nice bookstore. The cafeteria is loaded with like regular restaurants as well as, you know, like cafeteria style food. I mean, it's, there's like Starbucks and stuff inside. So really pretty nice all the way around. I mean, for a hospital, it's definitely not where Buffalo is, but we're getting there. I mean, our facilities out here have been revamped over the last decade, and it's getting to be quite a medical campus down in the city of Buffalo. But, yeah, Cleveland was quite an experience. And, you know, if I have to do this again, I'd like to go back and have the same surgeon go in there and, you know, redo his work. That would be ideal for me, but we'll have to see how that whole thing plays out when we get there. All right. So on top of that, this is in fact my last week, my final week of my 2 week notice at my current employer. So that's cool. We'll never have to talk about that again, just in potentially reminiscing about all the nonsense and the bullshit that went on there. I'm hoping that starting this new position, I'm going to have all these great experiences and, you know, really positive forces going forward. So I'm really excited about, you know, really everything over there. I'm pretty pumped about the whole thing. I'm a little anxious about the ride. I probably have to head out there, I'm going to try to go out there Wednesday and drop off all my pre-employment paperwork, because the HR manager is going to be out of the office my first week. So to get all that paperwork started, we'll get it started this week. So they've been, I mean, I got to say, you know, so far, if this is any indication of how things are going to go, they've been awesome. So I've had a really good transitioning and onboarding experience so far. So I'm pretty positive about the whole thing in that regard. So hopefully it continues to, you know, impress that way. And and I really fit in there, and my personality is what they're looking for, and my skill set and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm still being very conscious and aware of how I act and how I'm going to conduct myself and how I'm not going to try to be so overbearing and so dominating and domineering and things like that. So I still have to work on that, you know, consciously to make sure I don't kind of get too wild and crazy for people. So I got to really concentrate on being calm and settle down and focus on the tasks at hand and not get too wild and crazy right at the beginning here until we kind of get things rolling and people get comfortable with me and we have some semblance of what we're going to be doing. And, you know, because I still at this point, I have no idea what I'm really going to be doing and what they really need and where the problems might be and what things we need to fix. I mean, they've outlined some goals and things like that, but nothing steadfast or hard and fast in the sense that this is all I'm going to be doing. These are just some ideas of things that would they'd like to see get done. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I think I'm, you know, like I said, I'm anxious, but I'm excited all at the same time. You know, it should be, I mean, really the only real concern I have, like I've said countless times, is that, you know, getting there in the morning at the right time, because it's a pretty long ride. It's at least a 45-minute journey. I mean, it's not far. It's like 30 miles. It's not probably not even, maybe it's like 28, 29 miles. Yeah. So it's probably 30 miles. It's not really that, I mean, that's not far, but there's no like direct expressway type thing getting there. So I got to take kind of like, there's one main road, but I can take some back roads because that main road gets congested in certain spots and certain times of the day. So I'm going to have to feel that whole thing out. We'll see how that goes. I'm not entirely sure. And I don't know how strict they're going to be on me with like, well, you have to be here at 8 o'clock, not 8:01, that kind of crap. So even though I'm at the top of the pile here in terms of where I reside, you know, I don't want to let anyone down or, you know, blow the expectation that, well, this guy never shows up till 8:15, you know, and I don't know that anyone will even care, but I don't know that yet. So it's kind of a point of contention in my mind anyway. But wow. How about Afghanistan, guys? Holy cow. I mean, that just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I keep seeing more things about how this is getting worse. And now we're sending in drone strikes and they're giving they're dismantling all of our equipment and they're giving it to Pakistan. And somehow now I hear China and Russia are involved. Holy cow. Where are we going here? This is really getting quite concerning. And I still have not seen articles of impeachment or like anything regarding what the president of the United States is doing. I mean, does no one think that this is wrong? I mean, I can't believe that. I mean, if Donald Trump had fucked something up this bad, you know damn well, literally the same day they would be calling for articles of impeachment. But because Biden's in office, we're not going to do that now. And this guy is fucking up everything. I mean, this, if you're not aware, like, I'm not going to go into this because I don't know it either. I've just watched a bunch of video clips and things like that. But I mean, he is really screwing not just us and our people and the 20 years of commitment and effort that went into that part of the country and trying to stabilize it or do whatever the hell we were trying to do over there. But he's screwing over our allies and has abandoned their people there as well. I mean, it's like, man, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And if it just seems like this guy's doing absolutely nothing and nobody's giving him a hard time about it at all. I've heard some people talking, but I mean, you would think that would all that would be on the news is what this guy's doing wrong and how he's, I mean, it would be for sure if it was Trump. And again, to be clear, I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm just saying that guy got fucking hammered every day of his presidency. Didn't matter what he did, it was the wrong thing. And he didn't really do anything that was that catastrophic that I recall. He did things that were unpopular with the Democratic Party, but he didn't do things that caused people to die and put people in harm's way and destroyed a 20-year mission by botching the withdrawal. None of that. I mean, he didn't get the chance to execute his plan for evacuation and pull out in Afghanistan, so we'll never know what that would have looked like. So he can talk all the shit he wants about, oh, my plan was great. Well, who knows? I mean, I don't know if his plan was great, but it would appear that we didn't even have a plan with Biden. He just said, okay, everybody come home. And that was the end of it. There was no planning. There was no nothing. It was just get on a plane and leave as quickly as you can. And hopefully you get on a plane, because if you don't, you're screwed. Literally. I don't know. That's pretty awful. I'm all right. Enough of that. That's such negative stuff. Such negative stuff. It's such a disappointment that I don't know. I'm all over the place again this morning, folks. I do apologize. I never seem to have like a pointed topic that I stick with. And that's why the names of these things are so kind of ridiculous, because after I'm done, I go back and go, okay, what the hell, what did I actually talk about today? And it's like, you know, a barrage of things. And what do I name this episode? I don't even know that it matters what the episodes are named. But as I've said before, it seems like if I name something Synthwave, it gets all kinds of listens. I don't really know why that is. I don't know if that's just a coincidence or if it actually has something to do with the algorithm and how it promotes things or what people search for. I don't know. But I can't really tell how this podcast is doing, to be fair. I mean, I have episodes that show, you know, hundreds of plays, and then I have episodes that show like five. So I'm not sure why that would be, because my point is that all these episodes are, they're basically the same thing. It's just me shooting my mouth off every day. So I'm not entirely sure why one would have appeal over another. And the only thing I can base that on is it's like, well, if I see these two things, that, like one that says I love Synthwave has a whole shitload of views, and then I have the one I just did on Friday has two right now. So kind of not sure exactly what that means. but I'm reaching a new milestone here. I'm almost to $20 that I've made on this podcast. So thank you very much for all of your listens through my, I'm sure at this point, super annoying lead-in where I have to talk about, and I love Anchor. I use it. I mean, I legitimately use it. Again, I've said this before. That's why I promote it, because I do use it. And I think it's a great platform. It puts everything where you really don't have to do much. I will say that it doesn't offer you much. Like, there's no way to promote this thing on here. They have no promote. And I don't get these platforms like this. It's like, you know damn well that for this stuff to be successful, it's got to be promoted. Why the fuck do they not have promotion built into their platform? I don't understand why there is not a tab. It just says dashboard, episodes, and money. And nothing in here has anything to do with how to grow. Well, I shouldn't say that. Let me read you the tips for increasing revenue. Ask your listeners to support. Ask your audience for their support directly and clearly. You can explain how their support helps you to keep making or level up your podcast. So I guess your support helps me keep doing this. And I'm assuming that means financially. Activate sponsorships in all episodes. The amount you can make from sponsorships is calculated across all your episodes. So the more sponsorship segments you have active in your back catalog, the better. So I'm doing that wrong, because you're supposed to put ads like halfway through. Like, I'm supposed to stop. Let me see where I'm at here. I'm at like 18 and a half, yeah, like 19 minutes. So I should stop this podcast right now and take a break. Let's pause for station identification, and we'll get a sponsorship ad, and I'll put it right here. Okay, so right there was, I have no idea what, but some kind of sponsorship ad, because if you recall, prior to that, it said you're supposed to do that. I'm sorry. I'm going to explain that now. When possible, use mid-roll ads. Hire CPM sponsors, ones who are willing to pay more, are only available if you have at least one sponsorship segment in the middle of your episode, as opposed to at the beginning or end. To level up, split up your episode and insert some mid-roll. Okay, so that's what I just did. So whatever you heard, I don't know what that is, but I apologize. I'm going to change the format of this, because this is the tip. These are the tips for increasing revenue that are given by Anchor. So going forward, I'm going to have like a mid-roll kind of thing right in the middle. These are usually about 40 or 50 minutes. So right at the 20-minute mark, we'll stick something in there and yippity-doo-dah, right? We'll be all good to go there. It'll be fine. This looks really weird in my DAW right now because I'm trying to do this in a way that I'm going to have like the intro music and the outro music. So I had to actually split this thing up into two separate tracks to be able to keep track of, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. When I upload, this could be a complete disaster. We'll see how this one goes. And then the following thing, tips for increasing revenue, at least from Anchor's point of view, always record for new sponsors. We'll email you every time a new sponsor is available. Now that's horseshit because I have not seen a new sponsor available ever. It's the only thing that's ever popped into my view has been free shit. Like, oh, you know, donate to this charity or give to this charity, add that to your podcast. But I have not ever received anything for a new sponsor. The sooner you record, the faster you can start making money. Even better, if you have multiple sponsors at once, we'll always play the ad with the highest CPM to help you maximize your potential revenue. So my guess on this is that my podcast has not yet reached a point where I have enough listeners that any sponsors give a shit about my podcast. And that's what I'm gathering from this, which makes sense because on every other platform, as I've said before, I'm non-monetizable on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. I don't have enough followers that they will allow me to monetize my channels or my social media platforms. I think on Facebook, it's like 100,000. I think YouTube, it's 100,000. I don't know what it is on Spotify, or excuse me, on Instagram. But you have to have a pretty good following before this is, and that's what's bullshit about this. It's like you got to work for free for a long period of time. Or, you know, arguably you could get lucky and just all of a sudden have shit tons of followers and subscribers. But, you know, 100,000 people following something is pretty massive. That's a lot of fucking people. That isn't some small time thing. So it's basically like you got to do all this work, spend all this time making no money, making $20. Like I've just said, I'm almost to $20 on the one ad that I have in here for this, its own stupid platform. So you got to spend all that time making no money. It's like, where is the fucking incentive in this, people? I still don't understand these models where there's no value in anything. They don't promote any of your shit. How is this supposed to grow? I'm supposed to now spend more money, not just my time, but more money promoting this, spending ads on other platforms to promote my podcast? That's crazy. Who the fuck would do that? Why would I do that? I don't understand why they don't promote it. It's kind of like the whole Spotify thing. It's like, you know, how do you get on their playlist? Well, you submit. Well, yeah. And then it's a complete crapshoot. And they only let you, you know, depending on who you are and what your following is like, you only get a certain period of time or a certain number of songs. And then you're pretty much forgotten. I mean, like I said, I've released probably 50 more songs since the last song that I had that was put onto an editorial playlist. And not one of them got picked up. I mean, you're telling me of 50 songs, not one was good enough to be on that playlist? Fuck you. That's ridiculous. That's total bullshit. And that's what's wrong with this business model is it's a completely unsustaining model until you reach a huge point of success. And that's always how the music and the entertainment industries have been. You don't make shit when you're a B-movie actor and you're a, you know, you work on a frickin' like a, what were those daytime things called? I'm drawing a blank here. Help me out. Someone send it to me. Send it to me. Soap operas. That's what it is. You know, you get paid minimally to do stuff like that. And then if your career never takes off from there, that's all you got. You know, so you basically scrape by on that kind of a salary unless you become, I mean, I don't even think those things are, do they even play them anymore? I have no idea. But back in my day as a kid, that was a good starting point for a lot of people because it was, you know, live action and you did it every day. So you get pretty good at honing your craft, which is what I'm trying to do here. You know, I'm doing this every day. I'm trying to hone my craft. I'm trying to get better at this. So my podcasts are more appealing, more engaging, more enthralling. But in the end, I'm somewhat contradicting myself because this whole thing is in most regard about me. So I'm talking about things that may not be of interest to anybody because I'm not a famous person already. So who gives a shit what I think about anything that I say? I'm just another, you know, stream of noise that's out there in the internet, on the internet. You know, like I've said before, if you were listening, if I was somebody that was already famous, then people would give a shit about the things that I say. But because I'm just some schmo from Lockport, New York, nobody gives a crap about what I'm saying. Therefore, I'm not going to make this thing grow into anything big, because how is it going to get there? I refuse to spend any money promoting it. I'm just not going to do it. I spent almost 2.5 years doing that with music. And arguably, this is different. This isn't music. This is podcasting. But at the same time, I am not spending a fucking dime promoting this thing, because I spent thousands of dollars trying to promote my music and it did nothing. And I mean nothing. It yielded zero. The only growth that I've ever gotten is purely organic, and which is great. But the downside of organic growth is it takes forever. It takes years. You know, I don't even have 1,000 followers on Spotify. Not even 1,000. And like I've said before, if you are popular on one platform, that means, unless you're a huge international star, that doesn't mean shit on the others, right? I have, I don't know, like 11 million streams on Spotify, and I have almost nothing anywhere else. I'm almost at 1 million on Apple, but that's again because my distributor over there has playlists that they keep putting me on, which, thank you, Rod. I appreciate that. You're awesome for doing it. But that's really the only reason. No one is just finding my music. No one is just listening to my music. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. You can't just, the shit just doesn't happen like that. You have to figure out or understand how to grow yourself in an industry where there's a million other people that are as good or better than I am. So why would you listen to me? And I guess that, you know, that calls something out very important. It's like, well, you know, yeah, exactly. Literally, why would you listen to me? Well, I think and I'll tell you why, because I think what I deliver is very unique in that I don't hear other people that play horns the way that I play the horn doing what I'm doing. So I think what I'm offering is very unique, which again could be why it's not doing very much, because it will take a lot longer to find my audience, because what I'm doing is very unique and is very specialized and not just a run-of-the-mill lo-fi or jazz or hip-hop or whatever the hell you want to call it, ambient. It's kind of its own thing. So you either love it or you don't, but it's going to be hard to find because I may or may not come up in searches if you just go lo-fi music. It may not show my stuff. I don't have any idea how that works. And that's what, you know, why I've continued to say that I wanted to work with record labels on this stuff, because I don't know how to do any of that. And clearly what I'm doing doesn't work, because I'm going nowhere fast. You know, and it's not for lack of know-how from a musical or a business perspective. Let's see, what's the word I want to use here? I have a lot of acumen in both music, business, and business in general. I'm 49 years old. I've been around a while. I've been a part of running operations at companies and multi-million dollar places, multi-billion dollar places. I know a lot of this stuff, but none of it seems to apply to the music or the podcasting or to the book narration or anything that I actually enjoy doing. at least not in the way where I know how to promote myself. Like I said, with ACX, I just completed my second book and it was a great experience. I mean, I knocked it out in about 4 hours. I got paid, I think, $300. So that's pretty good to me. I think that's a great wage. I mean, it quoted it out from between $60 and $100 an hour. So it's right in the wheelhouse there. But I've auditioned for over 50 books and I've gotten 2. I mean, is that how it works? I've gotten none. 0 from auditions. Both books that I've read have come out of my profile examples. So what does that say? Should I even bother doing auditions at this point? I mean, nobody, if they're not listening to their specific audition and they're just listening to the things that you're doing, well, you can promote yourself and you put up like examples and clips, like stuff like that. So if that's the only way that I've gotten any real interest, I've never had someone that I've auditioned for go, "Hey, congratulations, we picked you." Every single one of them has been turned down. And now I guess you could say maybe that's a coincidence. I don't know. I mean, what do I know? Maybe it is, or maybe it was. But it begs the question of, if I'm going to spend 15 minutes reading through somebody's audition 50 times and it's not going to yield any results, I'm probably not going to do it anymore. Because why would I bother? What is it? For every 100 auditions, you get one book? I mean, what are people really making a living doing this? It seems like this is another start from the beginning. And maybe as I get more productions to my credit, my profile will look better. I don't know. I don't see really a profile for ACX. Like what is my, is there a profile? Add your sample, view sales dashboard. I don't. Yeah. So I guess that's sales of like audiobooks. I don't know. But I don't know that you get like a profile. I don't see a profile page at all. So I don't know how that works, where I would be able to promote myself on here. It doesn't seem to work that way. But anyway, the two experiences that I've had on here are awesome. I mean, they really were good experiences, and I didn't have any problems with payment, nothing. It was great. So to the two publishers I've worked with, thank you very much. It's been an excellent experience and great. I just wish I could lock one of these in literally once a week. I could knock out a book a week at this point. I've honed my skills and my production quality is there now, and I can get all these things edited and done and finished in about 7 days. So I could do a book a week easily, but I can't get a book a week, if that makes any sense. I'm not able to secure work. So this is one of those things where it's like, I bet it's like you either have nothing, like I have nothing, or you blow up. Hey, just as a side note, if you hear me talking like the way I'm speaking right now, where I'm these weird, choppy kind of phrases like that, it's because I'm not at all able to multitask. So right now I'm going through the messages on here to see if there's anything worth commenting about while we're talking about this. So on ACX, I'm actually looking at, so that's why I sound like, you know, I'm having a brain fart, because I kind of am. I'm half paying attention to what I'm saying. And at the same time, I'm reading through emails and seeing what these things are saying. And then on the site, looking for like, where is my profile page? Do I have a profile page? That kind of thing. But it doesn't look like there's a profile page here at all. Which kind of sucks, because, oh, here you go. Promote yourself. There's a whole thing on how to do, let's see. Social media 101, get on Facebook, use Twitter. Yeah, it's the same shit. Promote yourself. Who the fuck is going to find me on Facebook? Hey, guess what, guys? I'm a book narrating books now. How is that going to yield me anything? That's so stupid. Maintain your image, join the conversation, podcasting. I do all of this crap, for fuck's sake. This is what gets me so aggravated with these sites, is they give you information that it's just fucking not real. Yeah, go start a podcast. Well, if you don't have followers on your podcast, how are the people on my podcast going to go and I'm going to convert that into somebody that some possible random person that's looking for a narrator is going to hear my podcast and go, oh yeah, we want this shit to narrate our book. I mean, really? That's pretty far-fetched to me. I don't think that's at all going to happen. Maintain your image. Well, I'm fucking that up for sure, because if anybody that wants me to read their self-help book or something like that listens to me F-bomb and say all kinds of dumb shit on this podcast, that probably isn't helping me. Oh, there's a marketing checklist. Let's check that out. Oh, here's a good one. Once your audiobook is published, share your excitement throughout your social network. I mean, come on. What the fuck? This is so irritating. No shit, dumbass. You don't fucking think that people know this? Once your audiobook is published, share your excitement throughout your social network. Yeah, no shit, dummy. But if you don't have millions of people in your social network, none of this matters. Email your contacts to announce it. Create a post on your blog. I don't have a blog. Include an image and an audio sample. Post a status update on Facebook and link to your product page at online retailers. Tweet about it. Send influential colleagues and reviewers a synopsis or free copy of your audiobook. These aren't my fucking books. I can't do that. Ask peers and colleagues if they would help share the news by emailing or tweeting about your book. Holy crap. If this is really what it is that you have to do, it's no wonder that I'm not successful at any of this. I do none of this. I post on social media, of course, but I'm not asking my friends to go promote my book. This isn't even my book. I read the thing. I'm happy to share the link to it, but I'm not... Request listener reviews from your contacts. Retailers that are selling your book will allow for reviews. Review related titles on Amazon and link your reviews back to your author page on Amazon. I don't know, man. This is not clearly not designed for the narrator. This is for the publisher. This is honestly, the ACX site is a pretty shitty site. Amazon did a really piss poor job on this. I mean, you don't even get paid through this platform. It's all done outside of the system. So I've now been paid once through PayPal, which was fine, and once through Venmo, which was also fine. But you don't get paid through the platform, which is kind of, it's just, I don't know. I guess they didn't want to have to. It makes no sense. This is Amazon. I don't know. Maybe there was some reason they did that. It seems weird, but you get paid outside of the system if you're wondering how this works. It's not something like where I go into ACX and link my PayPal account and I get paid. No, you have to provide that information to the publisher and then they pay you, or they don't, I guess. But in my case, they've paid me, you know, in one of the few ways. But you have to have all that stuff set up too. So make sure you have, if you're going to do this, make sure you know, and they don't tell you any of this crap. There was nothing in here that I read about that said, well, make sure that you have multiple methods of payment set up that you can accept from, you know, the publishers to pay you for your audio work and your audio production. Respond to or retweet any commentary you receive. I post every podcast and I post every book, so only two, that I've ever done. And I have gotten absolutely no tweets, retweets, responses, commentary, nothing. On Twitter, so that doesn't work for me. Encourage your audience to buy your book as a new Audible listener member on Audible. When they do, you'll get an extra $50 bounty payment. It can add up fast, I guess. But again, this is like, you know, I've got like 400 friends on Facebook, 400 or 500 followers on Instagram. I don't even think I have 100 followers on Twitter. I mean, legitimately, let me go look at Twitter. What do I got? What have I got here on my profile? I have 105 followers on Twitter. So, yeah, none of this stuff is going to matter unless you have. And this is what I don't get. And why it's such a mystery, at least to me. If you don't have a strong social media platform already, none of this crap is going to work. If you do have a strong social media following already, none of this shit matters. So it basically is nonsense. It's telling you nothing. Right? This isn't giving me anything to do, because if I don't have 100,000 or 200,000 followers, the percentage of people that would give a shit about me saying this is probably close to or less than 1%. Right? It's not a huge number of people that are going to care about me promoting any of this stuff. Just like this podcast. How many people really give a shit that I'm doing this? Not that many. Right? So it's not an easy thing to promote, because who am I supposed to promote it to? And that's where the whole like paid marketing stuff comes in. And you're like, well, why are you always talking about paying for promotion? That's why. Because how do I reach 100 or 200,000 people if I don't have that following innately? You don't. You have to pay for it. And for me, making $300 on a book that I spent 3.5 to 4 hours creating the content for, and then spending $100 more on promotion is a loss. And, you know, I guess you could argue that, you know, businesses at the start are a loss, but I guess that's not how I'm approaching this. But I guess I'm never going to really move forward in this because until I have a huge following, none of this shit is going to take off. And until this stuff takes off, I'm not going to have a huge following. It's that catch 22. It's like a vicious cycle there. It's like, well, how do you get one or the other? How do I do something? You know, what would happen? One of these books took off and then all of a sudden I'd become in demand as a narrator perhaps, or one of my podcasts took off and people liked what I was talking about. And that would make me become popular because all of a sudden I'd have 10,000 followers of my podcast. Yeah, that's probably what happens. But again, back to that whole, you know, the stark reality of this is that if you don't have content that people are really that interested in, that ain't never going to happen, man. I forget who I was listening to. I don't know, probably Gary Vee or one of these other motivational douchebags that really just incite a riot in my mind because it's like, I don't think that what they're saying is wrong, but what they're saying is so meaningless to me because they've already achieved the success. It's like, yeah, it's easy to say, go do this because you're a multimillionaire. You do this for a living. You've been successful. Of course, it's easy to say that. Tell me from when you were struggling what you actually did. Don't tell me the things that worked. Tell me all the shit that didn't work and how you realized what does work. That's where I'm at, right? Like, I don't know what works. I don't know what I should be doing. Let's say I've said this before, but let's say I want to promote this podcast. What am I supposed to do? Now, arguably, I don't share this on Facebook, but like I said, I have 500 followers or friends on Facebook. Nobody gives a shit. Where am I supposed to share this? I don't have a single social media platform that has any meaningful followers. And I do have a master link in Linktree that will link you to everything I do. I have sold one sample pack. Nobody's finding that. Nobody thinks that that's any good. I mean, none of my streams are going up. I'm not picking up anything on any of the playlists. None of that kind of thing is jumping off. Nothing. Like I said, I've gotten two books out of over 50 auditions. Maybe that's good. I don't know. To me, that seems pretty shitty. And the podcast, you know, honestly, is probably doing better than any of the other stuff that I'm doing, which is why I'm so interested in continuing to do this, not only for my own good, but this, you know, maybe this is that thing that kind of jump starts everything else, because this has some kind of appeal. And this finally gets across who I am as a person, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But nevertheless, if people start listening to this and find what I'm saying here interesting, they may then go look at some of the other things that I'm doing and go like, oh shit, I like this music. But the chances that you listening to me right now also like the music that I create seems to me to be pretty slim. I don't feel like that's something that's highly likely. Like, just because you like what I'm bitching about as a person, or I'm talking about these disparities and, you know, across book narration and podcasting and music, that doesn't mean you're going to actually even like the kind of music that I make. So how do I go find that audience then? So you would think that, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this, but let me just say, happy Monday. I hope you're having a good day. I hope you had a good weekend. I did. It was fun. You know, as always, thanks for listening. I really do appreciate you, being a part of this journey with me. And I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.